think he's renting that number because it sure looks like it'll be Southeastern 16 before it's all over. Chris, tell people what you're up to.
Yeah, I literally just got off a video call with Corey Chavis. You guys know him as a Vanderbilt star when he was here.
Oh, I know him well.
11 years in the NFL, knows the draft like nobody's business. We just did a 45-minute live video chat with Corey talking about the draft. We talked about Evan Neal, Derek Stingley Jr., like a bunch of big names in the SEC. And, of course, we talked about just football itself in the league. So if you like SEC football and you like the draft, go to southeastern14.com. I literally have been posting this as I was on hold with you, this video we just did with Corey, because there's a wealth of information if you love SEC football and you love the draft. I think you will get some things out of that video that you're not getting elsewhere right now. And I think if you're a big SEC fan, you'll love what we just did.
As some of you know, Corey is a color analyst for CBS Sports Network. And back when he played at Vandy, Chris, I was Vandy's announcer at the time. And I remember we had a conversation. By the way, tell Fido thanks for joining us as well.
Yeah, he had to do that just as we went on the air.
I love it. But, you know, he wanted to talk to me about broadcasting. And, you know, he has gone on and done great things. Really happy for him. Very proud of him.
Yeah, and in addition to that, he is just a wonderful human being. He's generous. He's been a good friend of mine for about a decade. And, I mean, his knowledge of stuff, and I don't mean just the NFL and the draft, but he knows the NBA and MLB. And I mean, he has got an encyclopedic knowledge of sports. And he's just a gem of a human being. And this is going to be something we'll be doing on a regular basis. And, oh, by the way, if you're a Vanderbilt fan out there, we talked a lot about Chris Pierce in that podcast. He's a guy that Corey thinks is a bit of a sleeper for the draft and has been watching. So I think we've got something for fans of about half the SEC teams in that one today. And, my goodness, we'll probably cover the other half next week.
Chris, let me start with Bama's close call at Florida. How much do you think that that has given other SEC schools a little bit of a wait a minute? They are gettable, not that it's going to be easy, but do you think suddenly there's a renewed feeling that they're not just totally Godzilla?
Well, I mean, I think there has to be, right? You watch that game, and it was 21-3 in the blink of an eye, and we're all thinking we know what's coming next, and then we didn't. You know, and then you've got a Georgia team out there that beat Clemson in week one, and although that's lost some luster, you know, the Bulldogs, a lot of people think, are just as talented as Alabama. And whatever questions we had about Florida, I think we answered a lot of those on Saturday just by the way the Gators played them. And you've got LSU and A&M out there. I don't know where those seasons are going, but they're very talented teams. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a super interesting season. You know, it's hard to make a lot of conclusions right now because the games themselves, it just have been more duds than games like Bama, Florida. I mean, just overmatched teams week after week. But we are through that portion of the schedule, and I think I'm about as excited about this season as I've been in a while because of those reasons. I think it has a chance to be really competitive.
Let me get ugly here for a second. Maybe I have not seen something that I should have seen. What is the SEC waiting for to suspend some officials? Some of the embarrassments last weekend are pathetic.
Well, the one that people spent a lot of the day talking about was Mississippi State. And the more that I read into the rule book, I think the crew got that call right live. They just missed the duplicate jersey number. I mean, it's a weird play. So I was somebody who was critical of them for that. I think I'd back off a lot of what I was thinking on Saturday. No, the Penn State thing is a different matter. I mean, losing track of downs. I mean, look, I guess any of us, if we live long enough, we can make simple mistakes, but I don't know if that's going to wash with all that's at stake right now. And, you know, with the fan bases in particular there, and I'm sure Auburn and Penn State fans had to be watching that game at times going, what are we watching here? I don't know. I'd like to think it's early in the season that they get this straightened out. I think, to me, you know, officiating gaffes are always part of it, but there's so much money at stake now. The league's got so much money. You would certainly hope we don't see a lot of what we saw a week ago.
Chris, I guess here's my thing. When I was a play-by-play announcer, I virtually never criticized officials in game broadcasts because it is a really hard job and nobody in their right mind wants it. But this is not a thing of, okay, was this really pass interference? This is, you can't add to four. Not one member of that crew could add to four when Franklin is telling them, you know, it's not fourth down. I mean, give me a break. I mean, this is the kind of thing, if I'm Sankey, I'm calling them in and just saying, you know, I expect you to be able to add to four.
You know what I think makes officiating gaffes less forgivable than used to be is replay, right? And when I watched the Mississippi State game, and I'm switching games on you here,
sure,
but there is a point. The first thing I thought is, how can you not take that to replay? Because it was such an unusual play. It was a huge play late in the game. Like, we replay for all kinds of stuff, right? And sometimes it gets to the point of absurdity, and then we don't replay for that. Well, I don't know what the rules are on counting downs. If there's not one where you can stop and review that, there certainly should be. And I guess my thing is, when you have an opportunity to correct things sometimes and you don't, it's not the fact that people make mistakes, because that happens all the time. And even, you know, a lot of us, if we live long enough, we're going to make some very elementary ones where we know better, that we don't make all the time. That to me, is just part of being a person. But the failure to review stuff is the part that sometimes bugs me when it just happens all the time on mundane things.
Yeah. I'm surprised. The SEC silence on this is really pretty deafening. Watson, help me with this. Should there not have been an announcement by now?
I would think so. Anytime that's happened in any league I've been in, normally by Wednesday, that kind of stuff goes. And I don't just mean officiating. A kid getting thrown out that they didn't call targeting, that they found later that it was. Anything like that, it's usually done by Wednesday. So I would say, George, there's not going to be anything come from it.
Amazing. Say hello to Chris Lee, by the way.
Hi, Chris Lee.
Hey, Watson.
You doing all right?
I'm doing well. I bet you've got a whole office at home papered with letters from the conference, don't you?
You mean the ones I sit in?
Probably, yes.
Oh, Lord. Let's don't go there.
Right.
A lot of mine were Alabama ones. So
that tended to happen.
I can remember some big-time Alabama ones where we had them on the ropes, and then all of a sudden – oh, me. Don't bring that up. I'm already not in a good mood. It's underdog day, so underdog pick day. And then you got to add that to it. Chris, to me, I'm not sure it's early. We're going to, as it goes, but I'm not sure the SEC top to bottom, and throw out a couple toward the bottom, but isn't as strong as it's been in a while and might be as strong as anybody, top to bottom. The ACC does not look good to me. The Big 12 does not look great to me, and the Pac-12 doesn't look great. It looks like the Big 10 is pretty deep, but the SEC, this might be as deep as I've seen it in a while.
I agree. I think it's interesting. I think you start at the bottom. Vanderbilt's got a long way to go, and I think South Carolina does too, although I think the Gamecocks are in a much better position been Vanderbilt, and let's also congratulate them for a 2-0 start before running into a buzzsaw last week. But yeah, I mean, you get beyond that, and I've seen some things I like with Tennessee. I don't think the Vols are anywhere near, you know, where they've been in vintage Tennessee in terms of talent, but you've seen some signs of hope. You've seen some good things out of Kentucky and Missouri at times. Mississippi State, I don't know what to think of, but you've seen some good things, and then you go to the top half, and you got to love what Ole Miss has done. And you know, we mentioned some of the elite teams already, and Arkansas has just looked so good so far. I think it is a really interesting league because you've got a little bit of everything. You've got elite strength at the top. You've got a really good middle of really, really good teams. And even the lower end, like you said, I think some of those teams are bowl quality teams that maybe they don't get to it in terms of wins this year because the league is going to pick each other off as it goes through the schedule. But I'm with you. I think it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure down to about 11, through 11, that the teams aren't capable in that one day of beating up a team better than them. I'm not so sure. I'm not seeing that. Tennessee will get somebody. They're not going to have a great record, Chris, but they're going to get somebody. You just watch. And Kentucky has become dangerous in their times. And Mississippi State's going to be one of those that I wouldn't want to play because you never know. I mean, they just liable to be lights out, and then the next game say, who is that? I mean, Ole Miss impresses me, and with a week off, and then in at Alabama next with a week off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my gracious, that's set up perfect for them. And confidence right now, playing much better defense. I mean, they had Tulane who had – lost on last possession, last pass against Oklahoma, and they absolutely had them bombed at the half.
Yeah, I am going to be really fascinated to see Ole Miss against the top half of the West, whoever that is.
Yeah.
I still think we know one team for sure, but I mean the pecking order from there to me, I don't know how you sort it out, but yeah, I mean I think Ole Miss so far has looked good enough to put the fear of God into people. Now, you know, you give teams a couple more weeks to develop cohesiveness, and, you know, that Alabama matchup in particular is going to be very interesting to see how they stop things. But, I mean, they just put it to Tulane. And I know people are going to say Tulane, but that is not a bad football team that they've got down there. You can ask Oklahoma. They scared the daylights out of the Sooners in week one, and I just think that the way that they are steamrolling people with that offense right now, and the defense, it looks better. We got to wait to pass judgment for sure till the schedule gets tougher. I think that is a fascinating team to watch.
Yeah, and they've got to be confident because they just about beat Alabama last year and had no defense.
Yeah.
And they just about won the game last year and had Alabama defensively looking just like I saw Saturday against Florida, just wore out and could hardly get off the ground. So I can't wait for that game. I really think, Chris, Mississippi State's going to beat LSU. You may not feel that way, but I do. And if they do, look out in Baton Rouge. There's no telling what might happen.
I would love to tell you I have a strong feeling about that game, but I don't, because I don't know what to make of either of those teams so far. LSU is probably a top five team nationally in terms of talent, but it's not played like it in 2 years now. You know, once it comes unglued there, it just becomes that much tougher on a coach. And like you said, it's pretty close to being there already. So I don't know what to make of LSU. State, same thing. You know, we can argue that they got hosed on a call last week, and I do think that one should have been overturned on replay for duplicate jersey numbers, but they never got there, and maybe Memphis wins that game anyway. And again, that's not an awful loss. Memphis is a good football team, but I go back to week one where they barely survived. They had to come from, what, three touchdowns down in the fourth quarter to beat a Louisiana Tech team that's not that great. You know, you get the win against NC State in the middle. That's a good NC State team, which makes it a little more confusing, but I don't know, because I don't know what to make of either of those teams right now, and I think this game will be interesting for that reason.
Chris, guess what the music means?
I think that means it's time for me to go.
It probably is, but I'll leave you with this. Tell your son this. Go Braves.
Absolutely.
Talk to you. Thanks for doing this, as always.
You bet. Thank you.
Chris Lee from Southeastern 14 joining us on the show.